Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jai Radha Madhava. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jobi Janna Ballabha Girivaradhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Yashoda Nandana Vajjana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vajjana Ranjana. Namunati Ravanachari. Namunati Ravanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Yashoda Nandana Vrajana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vrajana Ranjana. Namunati Ravanachari. Namunati Ravanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shama Sundara Hare. Prabhupada, 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 Jayam Shripad Paramahamsa Parivraja Kacharya Astatarsata Shishi Madhavaichana Ravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shida Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vinda Ki Jai Prem Sekaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadhi Gaur Bhakta Vinda Ki Jai. Grantharaj Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namam Shnu Vidaya Krishna Vastad Krishna Bhakti Vinanta Sangha Vinamane. Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauranga Vichani Vasashis and Vardi Vasati. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. So reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhulila chapter 8, verse 283.
Through 285.
To what? 285. 283 to 285. Deki Ramananda Haila Anande Murchite. Deki Ramananda Haila Anande Murchite. Ananda Murchite. Dharite na Paredeha Parila Bhumite. Dharite na Paredeha Parila Bhumite. Dharite na pare deha parila bhumite. Deki Ramananda haila anande mochite. Dharite na pare deha parila bhumite. Dharite na pare deha.
Deina Ramananda Haita Ananda Mochite. Haideena Pare Dehi Panditam Tide. Hey Ramananda Haita Ananda Mochite.
Deki,
Deki,
seeing this form.
Ramananda,
Ramananda Rai,
Ramananda Rai,
Haila,
Haila,
there was,
Anande,
in ecstasy,
Muchchite,
fainting, Dharite, to hold him, Na, not. Pare,
able,
Deha,
the body,
Parila,
fell down,
Bhumite,
on the ground. Translation. A Upon seeing this form, Ramananda Roy almost lost consciousness in transcendental bliss. Unable to remain standing, he fell to the ground. So before we go to the next verse, I'm just going to read the verse before, because this is the form that he saw. He said, text 282 is, Lord Sri Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure, and Srimati Radharani is the personification of ecstatic love of God. These two forms combined as one in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This being the case, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed his real form to Ramananda Roy. And then today's verse was, upon seeing this form, Ramananda Roy almost lost consciousness in transcendental bliss. Unable to remain standing, he fell to the ground. We have two more verses, text 284.
Prabhu tare hasta sparshi karaila chetana sanyasira beshadeki bismita hai lamana.
When Ramananda Roy fell to the ground unconscious, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu touched his head and he immediately regained consciousness. However, when he saw Lord Chaitanya in the dress of the sannyas, he was struck with wonder. And then when Ramananda Roy fell to the ground unconscious, Sri Chaitanya touched his hand. Sorry. And he immediately regained consciousness. However, when he saw Lord Chaitanya in the dress of a sannyas, he was struck with wonder. Thank you.
Alingana kari Prabhu kaila asvasana toma bina erupa nadeke anyajana.
After embracing Ramananda Roy, the Lord pacified him, informing him, but for you, no one has ever seen this form. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said,
Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavrita mudayam navijanati lokumam abjamagyayam.
I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them, I am covered by my eternal creative potency, yoga maya, and so the deluded world knows me not, who am unborn and infallible. That's Bhagavad Gita 7:25. The Lord reserves the right of not being exposed to everyone. The devotees, however, are always engaged in the service of the Lord, serving with the tongue by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and tasting Mahaprasad. Gradually, the sincere devotee pleases the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Lord, Supreme Lord, reveals himself. One cannot see the Supreme Lord by making personal efforts. Rather, when the Lord is pleased by the service of the devotee, he reveals himself. Om Agyana Timuranda Syatana Jana Salakaya Chaksumari Tanyena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaham. Jayatam Sarito Pangor Mamamanda Materkati Matsarva Svapatam Bojo Radha Madana Mahano. Sri Chaitanya Manopistam Svapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Katamayam Patanti Svapatanti Kam. Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bandhu, Jagapate, Gopisha, Gopika, Kanta, Radha, Kanta, Namostute. This is a pretty incredible part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita that we're at right now. It's at the end of this conversation that was taking place between Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya, which is, some say, the most intimate and revealing of all the different pastimes that we had here given to us, and the information. We had Sanatana Goswami, Sambandha, Rupa Goswami, Abhideya, and Ramananda Roy, the Prayojana explanations. So there's a couple verses from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 25, text 265 is Krishna Tattva, Bhakti Tattva, Prema Tattva, Sara, Bhava Tattva, Rasa Tattva, Lila Tattva, Ara. And that translates as Krishna consciousness means understanding the truth of Krishna, the truth of devotional service, the truth of love of God, the truth of emotional ecstasy, the truth of transcendental mellows, and the truth of the pastimes of the Lord. So, because these books are so thorough, this is explaining these particular truths in completeness. So, a couple things I thought of as a progression, depending on our individual studies and our individual degrees of Krishna consciousness, to try to make bring us up to this point. In the Bhagavad Gita, it starts off with Krishna saying, never there was a time you did not exist, nor in the future will you cease to be. And he says, as you're changing bodies from your youth body to your next body to your older body to your old age body, so the soul changes to another body at the time of death. When you realize this knowledge, then you're not bewildered by these changes. Paraphrasing that a little. So Prabhupada explains that that's the beginning. You try to understand that we're different from these bodies. We're going through these different bodies. And then if one accepts that, then his spiritual life, he can start his spiritual life understanding he's separate from these bodies he's in. And then he goes through the Bhagavad Gita explaining how the bodily situation works with the senses and the sense objects. It's all part of karma in the bodily conception of life that covers one. And he explains that you can become free by performing sacrifice. Sacrifice culminates in knowledge. It gives happiness. Everything's in the proper perspective. And he says, as you surrender to Krishna, then he rewards you accordingly. So we're getting this process of understanding. We're separate from the body. The body's being maintained by the consciousness of being the independent enjoyer, which is termed in Sanskrit ahankar, the false ego. But as one gives up that idea, understanding that I'm not separate, I'm not independent, I'm not the controller, I'm subordinate, then his progression continues on and on. And in 15:15, Krishna says, I'm situated in your heart, always with you, always giving you directions and giving you knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. And if you want to approach Krishna, he assists through use of the intelligence. He gives you the intelligence by which you come to him. And it progresses on and on, just like one of my words that I like is Ashnute, and that appears in chapter 13, text 13, where Krishna explains, he's giving him knowledge what's beyond the body. And he says the Brahman is beyond the cause and effect. This, maybe I should just read it. I'll just read it. And I thought it was very... Krishna hides things according to as you surrender. Just like here, we see this as very wonderful verses, and Prabhupada just more or less says he's not manifest if you're a fool, and then you have to please Krishna, and as you please Krishna by your service, he reveals himself. So we can explain a little bit about that. So in this 13:13, he says, I shall now explain to you the knowable, knowing which you will taste eternal. You will taste the eternal. Brahman, the spirit that lies, the spirit, beginningless and subordinate to me,
which lies beyond cause and effect of this material world. So the Brahman, we happen to also know Aham Brahmasmi, that this is, he's talking about us. We're beyond the cause and effect of this material world. We have nothing to do, actually, with these material bodies. We never mix with these material bodies. We're covered, but the nature of the soul is that it's not contaminated, it's covered. So here he says, you'll taste that eternal. And our whole process of Krishna consciousness is cultivating this taste, the param jasudavardante. So even though the material existence continues, apparently, for some time, with the mind giving its different observations from its point of view, one becomes less and less influenced by it. It says by practicing bhakti yoga, the material energy works less powerfully upon him. 3:25:18. So getting back to this particular verse, these verses, is why Ramananda Roy fainted. So to understand that, there's a couple things we would have to understand. One, who's Ramananda Roy, first of all? And then, can't read my writing. So we'll go, who he is. We're understanding how the living entity is eternal. We were just talking about that. We're going from one lifetime to another lifetime. So when Krishna comes, he also brings his different associates. So Ramananda Roy is Vishakha, which is Radharani's immediate expansion. So they're very good friends, actually. And just like what Krishna does with us as we become more and more attuned or sensitive to how Krishna is working within our life, sometimes a devotee thinks that he still has karma, but it's not karma, it's Krishna. And Krishna is working in many different ways. Gradually we recognize his particular point, but he's always working in a way to give pleasure to the devotee, eliminate the non-devotee, maybe in us also. And he has a flavor the way that he does that. So I'm going to read a little bit. This is from some different other places. The first part, mostly this is from Gaur Govinda Maharaj. He had a book he put called, well, he wrote, The Embankment of Separation. And in the build-up to these verses, he says, this is Siddhanta. This is what we're talking about here. This is the prema tattva. So like that verse I read before, Krishna tattva, bhava, bhakti tattva, prema tattva, sara. Sara means it's the essence. The essence is these three things, understanding Krishna and truth, the process of bhakti, and prema. And then also what's important is understanding the bhavas that take place when one exchanges with Krishna. We're always exchanging with Krishna. Most of the time we're not recognizing how Krishna, we don't know how to relate to Krishna. Krishna's relating to us, but we don't know how to relate to him. So we don't understand. So then there was the bhava-tattva, the rasa-tattva, which is those exchanges. And then it's actually in the lila-tattva. So here it says, this is the siddhanta. This is the prema-tattva. It is like the newly grown twigs of a mango tree, very soft and reddish. They are always pleasing to the premi bhaktas, who in this way resemble cuckoo birds. Okay. But it says for the non-devotees, they're like camels. So they don't get the same, they like thorns. They don't get the sweet mango buds. So then we have to first, if you noticed, I changed my format a little bit. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam. So that's because in these particular verses it says, we're offering our obeisances to the lotus feet of such prema bhaktis. So we'll be able to say something that they've given us. From their mercy, we can know something about these pastimes. So we have to offer our respectful obeisances to them. And such prema bhaktas who are always engaged in gaur bhajan are my life and soul. I imagine that's Gaur Govinda Maharaj writing that. And who are those prema bhaktas? They are the eternal associates of Gaura, Sri Ramananda Roy, Rupa Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhakta, Raghunath, these, and the rasa acharyas like Sri Vas, Sripad, Paramananda Saraswati, Sripad Kavi, Karnapur. All these prema bhaktas have relished this nectar of prema tattva, and they have expressed it. If we follow in the footsteps of such prema bhaktas, Sakhi Manjaris, who are our gurus, we can get their mercy. Then we will be able to relish this prema tattva. Those who have received the mercy of Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, especially Lord Nityananda Prabhu, they will be able to swim in the Gaura Rasa Maha Sindhu. The great ocean formed with the mellows of Gaura. Otherwise, one cannot swim in it. So we have our Bhakti Rasa Amrita Sindhu. Prabhupada has explained that we're supposed to become familiar with the aquatics that live deep within the ocean of nectar of devotion. You cannot even approach the shore. You'll be far away from it, what to speak of entering it and swimming. So a little bit more, he was struck with wonder. So why, Lord, what's going on in this pastime was that Ramananda Roy had just spoken this most wonderful conclusions of our Krishna consciousness. Before him, no one has ever spoken like that. And even Ramananda Roy was surprised. So he was saying that actually Lord Chaitanya is speaking through him. He's just a puppet, and he's amazed at just what he's saying. So at the end of the conversation, he says he has a doubt. He was a little confused exactly who Lord Chaitanya is, because he said first he saw him as a sannyas, then he saw Radha and Krishna. Then he saw, so he's bewildered. So he asked Lord Chaitanya to not confuse, to lift the yoga maya. He wanted to know right now who exactly Lord Chaitanya is. So Lord Chaitanya here, he did reveal himself how this actually took place, and that's when Ramananda Roy passed out, went unconscious, or almost unconscious. So here's Lalita of Vishakha, and the technical explanation of this was covered actually last week by Dhruva Maharaj, because a lot of people don't come every week. So I'm going to try to serve that same explanation that he gave from the same sources here. So he said, this is a very big topic, and he says, it can be confusing. So here's what we're going to say. Ramananda Roy told Lord Chaitanya, at first I saw you appear like a sannyas, but now I'm seeing you as Shyamasundara, a black cowherd boy. Now, what do I see? I see you appearing like a golden doll. Your whole Shama body appears covered with a golden luster. So how this is actually taking place is very fascinating. And there's a verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the first it's a verse 5 and 6, but 6 particularly was where Lord Chaitanya, is where Krishna is being explained why he took, he appeared as Lord Chaitanya. He says, I have these three reasons that I'm appearing for. And he says, Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima. He was desiring to understand the glories of Radharani's love, the wonderful qualities in himself that Radharani alone can relish by her love, and the happiness that Radharani feels when she realizes the sweetness of Krishna's love. So the Supreme Lord Hari, richly endowed with her emotions, appeared from the womb of Mother Sachi, just like the moon appears from the ocean. So how Krishna got the emotions of Radharani is what this feigning was. He saw how Krishna got the emotions of Radharani. And where do you find the emotions of Radharani? And how can you access that? And how can you take that? And so that's what's actually happening here. So it's a very esoteric point that somehow or other, by Prabhupada's mercy, and Lord Chaitanya, especially Lord Nityananda, here we are hearing about it. So we'll go on a little bit here. Okay. Krishna is in... Oh, okay, so Ramananda Roy told Lord Chaitanya... At first I saw you. Okay, we did that. Krishna is inside. Therefore it is said, Antara Krishna Bahir Gora, that Shama form is inside, covered up with the effulgence of that golden Tao. That's Gora. That is what Ramananda Roy saw. Ramananda Roy knows Sham because he is Vashaka Shaki in Vrajalila. He also knows Kanchana Pachalika, the golden Tao. That is Radharani. So he knows both because in Vrajalila he is Vashaka Shaki. And these two are very dear to him. So why did he faint when Gaur showed him? That is the question. He is acquainted with them. Otherwise, how could he say that? My dear Lord, I can understand that you've you assume the ecstasy and bodily complexion of Srimati Radharani. By accepting this, you are tasting your own personal transcendental humor and have therefore appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Ramananda Roy says this, so it is not unknown to him. There is no reason to faint, but then why did he faint? We have intrigue here. This is the mystery is continuing here. Upon seeing this form, Ramananda Roy lost his consciousness. In transcendental bliss, unable to stand, he fell down. So that was today's verses. He fell to the ground. Why? What was that wonder? He knows all these things. It is not unknown to him. If someone does not know, he may be struck with wonder, but Ramananda Roy knows. So why did he faint? Okay, the next heading is called Most Acute. The Acharyas have explained in this way. It is a question of varaha and milan, separation and union. There are three types of separation, and these are all discussed in Rupa Goswami's Ujjavala Niramani. Is that close? Ujjavala Niramani. Similarly, as there are three types of separation, there are also three types of union, milan. These three types of separation are Bhavi, Bhuta, and Bhavan. Now, just for a moment for us so I'm not reading constantly. When you have strong, very strong emotions with someone, then you're always thinking of them. Krishna instruction for the sadhaka, to bring him from sadhana to the perfectional stage, what is the one regulation, the primary regulation for the sadhana? Who knows what it is? Always, always think of Krishna, never forget Krishna. So when one, that's because we're developing our affection for Krishna, our relationship with Krishna. But when that is mature, one can't stop thinking of Krishna. So that thinking of Krishna is in one of these six different situations. There isn't anything else happening. You're either thinking about meeting Krishna or you're feeling separation from Krishna. But there, what else is there? Because that's all you're thinking about. That's our, that's the heart's condition. Okay. First we'll explain is bhavi varaha. What is it, and what is bhuta varaha and what is bhava varaha? With concentrated attention, one should hear about these topics and try to understand them. If Mahaprabhu will show his mercy upon us, it will be possible. So this is basically, this is the matter of the heart, right? In the sadhana stage, our hearts are still contaminated with the material energy. But we're in the clearing stage because we're understanding that's not something I want. That's unwanted, unnecessary. So it's called in Sanskrit an anartha. Artha means a desired thing, what you want. And anartha means I don't want this. In fact, it's just giving me trouble. How can I get rid of this anartha? How can I become free from these anarthas? So that mood is very wonderful. So if we read the Srimad Bhagavatam, second chapter, first canto, second chapter, it says that the Srimad Bhagavatam, he says, if you serve your spiritual master, you'll develop an urge to hear these messages of the that are spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So when you're doing your service, you can tell. Prabhupada says you should be able to tell something by the result that it's giving you, if you're doing it correctly or not. Otherwise, how will you be able to tell? So he says it produces a particular effect. He gave a very nice lecture on that in 1969 about the Govardhan Puja Leela. That when Krishna was asking his father about why do you do this sacrifice? Is it just a tradition, or is it a superstition, or is it what's the effect? He said, you have to know something by the effect, otherwise you're going to be cheated. So the effect of serving the spiritual masters, you become more and more interested in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, serving the Srimad Bhagavatam, distributing the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, following the orders of the spiritual master. And Krishna says in the next verse, 18, well, there's one in between, Svakata, hearing these messages. And the next one, he says, if you actually are doing that, you're following the orders of the spiritual master, you're developing the urge to hear, you're hearing, so what's the result of hearing? He says, Krishna, in your heart, takes away these material desires, or at least lets you see them for what they are. And then your relationship with Krishna is developing. When you see what these material, we go to Sri Upanishad, text 11, it says, for one who can understand the process of nescience and that of transcendental knowledge side by side, he can transcend the influence of repeated birth and death and enjoy the full blessings of immortality. So a couple different things. When he can become unaffected by the process of repeated birth and death, that means he understands how karma works. He understands the process of nescience, of sense gratification, contemplating something that is for I and mine. And he sees that, and then it says to full enjoy the full blessings of immortality. So do you know what word it is for enjoy? It's that same word that we read about before in 13:13. When you understand you're eternal, it's ashnute. So this, and it's interesting, if you ask what the verbal root of that ashnute is, the first thing that comes, they'll say, is it means eating. So you're actually tasting, eating, you're in, the Sanskrit language is so fascinating because the same taste we talk about, the bhakta-lata bij, the bija that gets planted, that you get from your spiritual master, is this taste of serving. And you recognize how to grow your taste for serving. Certain things will be bad for your taste. Those are the offenses. So you give up these offenses, and then you see how your taste increases, and that the taste grows right out of the material nature. It grows right into, it takes shelter because it's a creeper. It requires shelter. It doesn't stand on its own. And it finds shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna, where it blooms. So the bloom is right before the fruit, isn't it? There's a flower, and then it turns into, right behind it is the fruit. So the bloom is bhava, and the fruit is prema. So that seed that we have, this bhakta-lata bij, it's prema. Just like if you have an apple blossom, it's because it's on an apple tree, it's because it produces apples. So everything is known by its fruit, palena parichyate. So that's the effect. So I'm going to have to kind of skip, because the time is almost up, and there's still a lot. This is a lot to cover for us. It requires some time. But basically, I'm going to have to jump a couple more places. So there's three kinds of union. So there's three kinds of meeting and three kinds of separation. And I'm going to read what they are. So at least we know what I'm referring to. Here they're also given with examples. Okay. Akura has come to Brajabhumi to take away Krishna. Everybody remembers the scene when Akura pulls up. So when they see that this is Akura, what do the gopis think? What are they thinking? He's come to take Krishna away. Krishna's still there, but he's come. He's come for Krishna. He's going to take him. And Krishna's still there, but they're already feeling separation from Krishna because he's going to leave the next day. So there's one type of separation while the person is still there. There's also that story about Radharani and the bee, not the same, that the bee that she's talking to, but she's with Krishna, and a bee was there, and she chooses to be away, but it comes back again. So is it Madhu comes, the Brahmin friend of Krishna, and says, okay, now Madhu's gone, meaning the bee is gone. But Radharani, who's sitting with Krishna at the same time, thinks that Krishna just left, because he says Madhu's gone, that's another name for Krishna. And she goes into separation, anxiety, even though Krishna's right with her, because she thought that. So that these are matters that take place in the purified hearts. So by the mercy of our acharyas, perhaps we can get a glimpse of this topic. Because ultimately, our hearts all belong to Krishna. And in this world, every time we have our heart go to some other conditioned soul, it starts off something like excitement and hopefulness. And in the period of time, most of us have experienced that it's minimally disappointing, and maximum is practically you can't live anymore. So this is just a reflection. So the only thing that I found of value in all those things is that at least you know you have a heart and you've located it and you know what it feels like. Now that you've located your heart and you know how the pain part feels, why not use your intelligence by this great mercy that's upon us right now to take the stand that never again will I get in this situation, and my heart actually just belongs to Krishna. So there is a positive aspect, and as one sees it more and more, we'll see that's the actual reason. That's another topic. Can go on for that. Okay. So we know about Akura. So that when Akura came, that feeling of separation, even though Krishna was there, is called Bhavi Varaha. Then there's Bhuta Varaha. After Akura had taken Krishna away, day after day had passed. And the more days had passed, the pangs of separation became acute. So that's Bhuta Varaha. So in other words, most of us, I don't know, yeah, probably, we've experienced some heartbreak. And at some time, you give up your, the whole world, it doesn't have anything there anymore. There's hardly any reason to live. There's, you just, you go on with what you have to do, but you're, it's a shadow of what you actually, of your life before. You're thinking, there's just really no reason to do anything. You know, why do anything if you've been, had a hard separation like that? A lot of times with old people, I know quite a few people, like my parents' generation, that was a generation that followed religious principles to the degree that they stayed married most of their whole life. 50 years, 60 years wasn't uncommon. And then one of them dies, and within 6 months, the other one, who's perfectly healthy, also dies. So that you can see how that also works in this world. This generation, it's generally not the same. All right. So now we have the Bhuta Varaha was, you go on, but it's just, what do they call it? There's a word that's something like hibernating, but it's for turtles. Turtles, they also something like hibernate, but it's not called hibernation. They bury themselves in the mud, and they just, they're not dead, but they're not really alive. It's like hibernating. Okay, and that's explained that was the condition that the gopis were in. They were compared to this pran korma condition, where that they're living, but they're not living. But the thing that keeps them alive, the mud that keeps the turtles alive, the mud that keeps the gopis alive, was Krishna said, I'm going to come back. He said he's going to come back. So that's the only reason, because their love is so pure that they know if Krishna came back and they weren't there, if they were dead, it would upset Krishna. So they keep themselves alive for his pleasure. Everything the gopis do, they dress, everything they do is for Krishna's pleasure, because he knows. It's explained also when Krishna looks at Radharani, he becomes so happy. So when he's happy, Radharani gets more attractive, seeing Krishna happy by seeing her. So then when she sees him happy, she becomes more attractive. And then Krishna becomes more attractive. So there's a competition. It's compared to like two mirrors. If you put two mirrors next to each other, it just keeps, there's a competition that just keeps expanding. You ever, if you look at two mirrors in front of each other, it just goes on and on. So there's that competition of trying to please Krishna, and Krishna being pleased with you trying to please him, he reciprocates with you, and that makes you happy. But when you're happy, that pleases Krishna, because you're happy by serving him. Because he admits that there isn't any way to repay the gopis for what they do. So what could you give them? So he said, you have to be pleased with your own service. So we know from 1-2-6 param, what's that, 1-2-6, the supreme occupation, param dharma, for all living entities is by which one develops this pure love for Krishna. It has to be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. So unmotivated, I'm not getting anything from it. Uninterrupted, that's a quality of love. And the Atma supersiyati, that means you become Atma Rama, that you're completely self-satisfied because Krishna is with you all the time. And Narayana Parayana, it says that if one's in heaven or if one's in hell, it doesn't make any difference for a person because he's always exchanging with Krishna in his heart. So this is considered by Lord Chaitanya, Premapu Marta Mohan, this is the goal of your life. This is the goal of existence. This is our what we're signed up for. Is that in any situation, you'll be completely self-contained, completely happy, no matter what situation there can possibly be. And that's the perfection of existence. So I think I should probably stop there if there's any questions or comments, because it's going to take a little bit longer. But basically, what it was is that Krishna got Radharani's heart soft, so he entered into it, and then he stole her emotions, and that's how he became his form of Lord Chaitanya. So that was just the next part, is how he stole, because we know Hare is the thief. Hare means thief. He stole her emotions. Of course, we have Gadadhar. He's Radharani without the emotions because Lord Chaitanya took him, but it's another story. So are there any questions or comments? Oh, yes, there's one back here.
Prabhu, I was just wondering how, when in the purport, Prabhupada, when in the purport, Prabhupada sometimes mentions, or also, I think you were reading, maybe it was in the translation, that the fools and rascals, they cannot, what was the sentence? They cannot see me or understand me. So the non-devotees are referred to as fools and rascals. How do you explain it to a non-devotee who gets hold of our books? And they wonder why they are called that way, because they just don't know, but they are called fools and rascals. It's like it sounds like a heavy judgment. So, I was just wondering.
So your question is, if a non-devotee reads these books, and he feels that he's being called a fool and a rascal, how will we explain that to him?
Why?
If you read a little bit more of the books, it'll explain it. And just like that 13:13, he says, I'll explain to you the spirit which is subordinate to me. So, of course, we read that in different ways. Sometimes we think the Brahman effulgence, that's subordinate, Brahmanohi Patistaham. We're subordinate to Krishna. And I actually used the word judge. That's quite consistent with the Judaic Christian conception of God, isn't it? He's the judge. You go there and he sits in his big seat and he says, either you go to heaven or you go to hell. So we're kind of used to understanding that God is also the judge. And these are his words that he's saying, okay, you didn't know, so now that you know, what are you going to do? You're going to continue to be the fool and rascal that you're being told that you are? Because you know the first, you know, Bhagavad Gita 13, 8 through 12, big long verse, it's called the process of knowledge. He says, by this process of knowledge, one can come to understand the truth. Do you know what the first one is in the process of knowledge? Anybody know? Humility. It says, without humility, you can't be told anything. So someone calls you a fool and a rascal. And then there's also gentleman. You know what a gentleman is? Prabhupada defines a gentleman as someone who doesn't retaliate. You call somebody a name, most people retaliate. They're not gentlemen. Because I remember Prabhupada, there was one small kid, maybe he was, or it was Gurukul, maybe he was around 6 or 7, and Prabhupada said something to him, and he wanted to talk back to him. So Prabhupada said, he's not a gentleman. You don't talk back. Talking back is, it's a low quality, low class quality. So if someone has any quality about him, if he's called that, he would say, my dear sir, I thought I was innocent. Why do you say that I'm doing that? Now, if he listens and he becomes a little submissive, the first statement in the Bhagavad Gita is that you're eternal. So if you're eternal, how come you're on death row? Later today, in 3 hours, I go to Radford Prison to do some preaching there. And there's over 300 people on death row there. So there's a timeout where you're supposed to understand your relationship with Krishna. And when you function, that's called penance, to accept your relationship with Krishna. And if you forget what your relationship with Krishna is, you're going to do something that's not in your relationship, which is bad. So what they asked you to do if you do something bad is do your penance over again. Do you know what you call it when you're doing your penance over again? Repent. Sound familiar? We have to repent. I'm sorry, I acted improperly. Now that I've come back to my senses, I would like to act properly. Please allow me back to do some service that's not out of my relationship. And if you can't get it right again, you keep doing it incorrectly again, they give you a timeout and they put you in a penitentiary where you can perform penance. And in those penance, you're to understand you're subordinate. And it's quite harsh, generally. But a friend of mine told me that in Philadelphia, there's a prison there that was originally, it was one of the first penitentiaries, and it was they would give them time and just by themselves and a Bible for them to get their penance straight again, so they could. And now this material world is called a Durga, which is considered a what? A prison. So prison, penitentiary, penance. Lord Krishna, he asked Brahma to perform tapa, penance. He says, I'm very much pleased with your non-duplistic, your non-deceptive execution of penance in performing bhakti yoga, so I'll show you my form. So it's sambandha gyan, we're recognizing we're subordinate. So the fact that we're may be called a rascal, you can take it from there. It's not a problem. If the person gets too much upset for him, tell him to read it. You're coming in the middle of the book. You have to start at the beginning, maybe the introduction. Is that okay? Okay, thank you.
Until we realize that that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer and the proprietor of everything. Someone gave an analogy. Until we realize that we are fools and rascals in our inhabiting in this world. But someone gave an analogy once that to show how we're fools and rascals in that regard. He said, say there's a furniture store, and they set up little rooms of the new furniture and, you know, on display, so it's welcome, you know, inviting and, you know, attractive. And so someone walks in the store and he starts, you know, sitting on the couch and turning on the TV and watching the TV and then lying in the bed and, you know, all these, and he comes back every day to do this, you know, as if it's his own. But he's such a fool, you know, he's assuming proprietorship, but it's not his at all. Well, and he's a rascal because he'll be arrested by the proprietor of the shop, of the furniture store, you know. So it's what we're doing in this material world where, you know, you can see clearly how we're fools and rascals when we don't acknowledge and realize that Krishna is the supreme proprietor and the supreme enjoyer.
Well, that's very nice. Thank you. You know, there's a sequel to that, too, is that he moved the furniture from one room to the next room. He said, so since I've worked for this now, it's become mine. So we move Krishna's stuff from one place to another, and now it's ours because I worked for it. I got the receipt. And then, of course, the other thing about the rascal, everybody wants to be happy, Anandamoya Vyasat. But we're being smashed at almost every moment. Every once in a while, it's compared to a dunking stool. They let you up for a dunking stool was a type of punishment where, like a seesaw, and they put you underwater. And when you're just about to die, which is very scary, drowning, they let you up and you take a breath of air. And just as you almost got the breath of air, they put you back down under the water again. It's a horrible condition of life to be in. And so someone thinks, I want to be happy, but there's, besides the four main ones, birth, which you don't remember, but you got old age to look forward to. But just to give you a previews of coming attractions, you know, because you may not be old yet, like some of us are a little young, they'll give you a disease. And the disease is like previews of coming attractions. One time someone asked me, what's it like to be in your 60s? And I says, it's just like being 20, but you have the flu. So, because things work hard. So, after that came to me a couple years ago, I started noticing actually disease is like a preview of what it's going to be like when you're old. So you get little bits of it along the way. So you don't think you're a rascal. Why are you being thwarted at every moment, being harassed all the time by one thing or another? So somebody who's got a little bit of intelligence will say, there is something wrong with this picture. I don't want these miseries. And there's birth, death, old age, and disease. Those are the big four. And then you have the three that your own mind causes you trouble. I can't sleep because I got this to think about. This person said this. This one's doing this. So there's adiatmic, adibodhic, and adidaivic miseries. So why are these things on us? If I'm good and God is good, how come I'm in such a situation like that? If God designed this world for me to be happy, he didn't do a very good job. But if he designed this world for me to, like a penitentiary, oh, it's actually designed really good. So we should end it. I really went over time. Thank you all for your kind attention. Hare Krishna.